So if you can give us a notion what you want to play, we're ready to listen.
Okay. I'm just going to play two gangbusters, Let Them Go. And so that'll do it. I'm not going to go into titles or anything like that. It'll be two great gangbusters episodes. So I'll just do my routine here. Hang on for a second. It's now time for Yesterday Once More. Yesterday Once More is the program that turns back the hands of time to those thrilling days of old-time radio. Today on Yesterday Once More, we feature gangbusters. Now, there's a very special way of enjoying Yesterday Once More, and that is to sit back in your favorite easy chair and relax because it's Yesterday Once More.
Now, gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case history.
Tonight, Gangbusters presents the case of the Bandit Brothers, rode a crooked trail of death and robbery over the plains until vigilant and fast-shooting Western peace officers straightened them out.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable Homer Casey, former sheriff of McLennan County, Texas, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
Thank you, and good evening, Gangbusters listeners. Let's start tonight's case in a small town in the ranch country of Colorado a few years ago. It was late on a Saturday night, and most of the ranch hands in for entertainment had headed home. But in front of a small house just off the square, a man dressed in boots and Levi's leaned against a streetlight smoking a cigarette. Finally, he threw the cigarette into the street and walked up the front porch.
Waiting all night. Come on, will you?
Yes, who is it?
Me, Randall. Open up.
Okay. He ain't here. How many times do I have to tell you?
Well, where is he?
How should I know where he is?
He said he was coming here.
Listen, what your brother says and what he does are two different things. You ought to know that by now.
Okay, if you see Obie, tell him I went back to Turr's cabin. I went back to get some sleep.
If I see him, I'll tell him.
Good night. Don't forget, it's important.
Good night.
Was it Randall again?
Yeah, it was Randall again.
Why didn't he go home to sleep?
That's where I sent him.
Some brother I got me. Follows me around like a beagle dog.
Let's forget about your brother. Huh, Obie?
Sure, baby.
Come on, sit down.
Sure, baby.
Nice and comfortable.
Yeah.
Give me a kiss, Obie.
How about it, May? Suppose we forget Randall, you and me. We'll start in traveling right now.
No, honey, that wouldn't be any good.
Why wouldn't it? It'd be swell.
Oh, you wouldn't want me to get mixed up in your business now, would you? You wouldn't want me to get too involved in anything.
No, I guess it wouldn't. Wouldn't be fair.
So, like I was saying, you just go out with Randall and do what you have to do. I'll be sitting and waiting for you to come back. There's nothing else for me to do. Just sit and wait.
Oh, no, it ain't that bad, May. This ain't such a bad town.
What's good about it?
Well, I got an idea.
What, honey?
Home. How'd you like to go back to Texas? You'd have plenty to do there.
You mean you'd send me?
Sure, I'd send you. Take a little visit, you come back here to Colorado, and everything's okay.
Oh, but visits take money.
Well, I got money.
I need money for clothes and everything. If I'm going to visit home, I gotta have good clothes.
Well, you got pretty good clothes, haven't you?
Yeah, but, you know, there's all kind of expenses.
How much do you think you'll need, May?
Oh, I don't know, honey. $500 or $600.
Well, we're kind of low ourselves right now. Randall and me, we only have about $400 altogether. We ain't been out on the job in a couple of weeks.
Well, I guess $400 will have to do.
But May,
it's all right. It's perfectly all right, honey. I'm sure I can get by on $400. That is, if it's okay with Randall.
Look, we don't have to worry none about Randall. I carry the money. I always have.
Oh, babe. You're a darling. A real darling.
Sid?
Yeah?
Telephone.
In the booth there.
Who is it?
Long distance. Colorado. Sometime out there.
Okay. Colorado. If she... Hello?
Frank, darling?
I thought I told you not to waste any more dough on long-distance calls, May.
Frank, honey, I'm coming back. I'll be there in Waco the day after tomorrow.
Hey, now, let's get something straight, baby. If I gotta pay your way, you stay up there.
Oh, I got my way paid, all right, and plenty to spare.
Yeah? Who's the chump?
A guy named Obie Thronberry. Will you meet me at the train, honey?
You know where to find me. I'll see you when you get in.
Oh, please, Frank.
I said I'll see you when you get here. Yeah. Goodbye.
Yeah, but every cent you gotta give her.
Will you shut up about it, Randall?
Half of it was my dough. You could have thought of that.
Listen, brother, no brother. I'd just as soon throw you out of this car as look at you.
Okay. Then to top it off, we gotta put our guns in soak to buy gasoline.
I told you to shut up.
Well, okay. What happens now? We got no money, we got no guns. What happens?
I'll tell you what happens.
Yeah, you tell me.
I heard some talk about an old sheep herder lives out there near Hayden.
What do we want with a sheep herder?
He gets good pay every month. He ain't spent a cent of it in years. He must have a couple of thousand around his shack.
Just where'd you hear all this?
I heard it. And he's got guns.
Well, that's something we can use, all right. How'd you figure on handling?
Easy enough. We start out friendly. We ask if he knows of any work around.
Uh-huh. How much money you say he's got?
A couple of thousand.
Okay. Now listen, I want my half plus the 200 of mine you gave to May.
We'll see.
We'll see nothing. I get it or nothing do.
Now listen, Rand, you get what I want to give you. You understand that?
I get what's mine.
In a minute, I'll stop the car and let you know what is yours.
Okay, go on. Find a sheep herder. We'll talk about it later.
Hello, mister.
Howdy.
Saw your shack here on the hill. Our car's kind of heated over. We were wondering if you could spare some water from your well.
Yeah, help yourself.
The only thing is, we ain't got a thing to carry the water in.
No, you ain't, huh?
Nope.
Well, there's a bucket inside you can use. Come ahead.
Much obliged.
Well, go on in, strangers.
Yeah, thanks.
There's the bucket hanging.
Okay, I'll get it.
Yeah, you boys from around here?
No, we're Texans.
No, Texans.
Yeah, we're looking for work.
You won't find much work in this part of Colorado.
You don't know any of your friends can use a couple of hands.
Sheep man don't have no friends. Rather, a sheep man don't want no friends. Well, you got your bucket, get your water, and don't forget to bring the bucket back.
Yeah, we'll bring it back. Thanks.
Grab him.
Hey, what's it? I got
him. Turn me loose. Turn me loose.
Shut up, old man.
Rotten, good-for-nothing prairie dog.
Shut up.
Now, you shut up. All right, listen to me, old man. Where's your money?
You ain't got no money.
You got thousands.
Let me go.
Hold still.
Where's your money?
I got no money except what's in my pocket.
Well, let's see what's in your pocket.
You stay out of
there. I told you to hold still.
Here it is.
How much? How much is it?
$20. Where do you keep it, old man?
It's all I got.
Set him down over there.
Come on, old man. Come on.
Turn me loose. You turn me loose, will you?
Now sit down.
There's some rope over there. Get it.
Yeah, okay. I'll get the rope.
Now listen to me, old man. Where's your money?
You got it.
The real money. Where'd you hide it?
I ain't got no more.
Oh, you ain't.
This rope you wanted? Hey, what do you want to knock him out for?
Don't ask me questions. Get him tied up. And we get what we came for.
Maps says stay on 40 and it takes us right into Salt Lake, Obie.
I don't think I want to go to no Utah.
No? Where do you want to go?
Back to the tourist camp.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Might be a wire there for May, saying whether she got home okay.
She got home okay. She could get any place on $400.
We're going back to the tourist camp, Randall.
Honest. We tie up that old man and leave him to die, we'll get 40 bucks and an old rifle. You got to see if there's a telegram, and the thing we should be doing is getting out of Colorado as fast as we can.
We'll get out. Don't you worry about it.
What else is there to worry about?
Now, listen, Randall, I told you not to give me no trouble. Now, don't.
How could I give you any more trouble than we got? Go on, get your telegram. Then let's get out of this state while we still can.
Well, Gangbusters listeners, these brutal killers, the Thornberry brothers, felt secure on the assumption that they left no clues for the authorities. But when they left their victim to die, the most important clue of all, they took with them.
Here again is the narrator of tonight's case, Sheriff Homer Casey of Waco, Texas.
As I was saying, Obie and Randall Thornberry killed and robbed a helpless sheepherder in Rout County, Colorado. By the time the crime was discovered and the alarm spread, the two killers had left the state of Colorado and crossed into Wyoming, where they appeared in the town of Rawlins. The two brothers had parked their car in front of a hardware store and were walking to the door carrying an old rifle.
We ain't far enough away, Obie. Wyoming's not near far enough.
What are you scared of?
What do you think? Shouldn't have wasted all that time going back to get a wire that wasn't there.
Now don't give me no more headaches. I got enough. Go on in.
Okay. We ought to wait a while.
Morning, fellas.
Howdy.
Can I get you something?
Yeah, we...
I'll tell them. We want some cartridges, this here rifle. 3 or 4 dozen.
What caliber?
It's a 32-40, I think.
You think?
Yeah, we just bought it. Off an oil man out near Saratoga.
Uh-huh. What make rifle is that?
Winchester. Let him see, Randall.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can get you something to fit it. Hey, this is an old-timer. How do you like that homemade sight? Couldn't have paid too much for this rifle.
No, not too much. Well, can you fit it with cartridges, or do we have to go someplace else, huh?
No, you don't have to go anyplace else. Yeah. Here's some that fit.
All right, the two of you, get your hands in the air.
Hey!
Get them up.
What's this all about?
I'll tell you what it's all about. I'm a deputy sheriff of this county.
What have we done?
Just keep those hands up.
Okay.
I saw a report this morning of a killing over in Colorado. They found an old sheep herder murdered. This rifle answers the description of the one he owned. You two are going to spend a little time in the county jail till we find out for sure.
Now, look,
just
master.
Keep them up. Both of you march out that front door. Go on, march.
Well, Gangbusters listeners, that rifle was identified as the one taken from the murdered man. Obie and Randall Thornberry were charged with murder and taken from Wyoming to the Rout County, Colorado jail in the basement of the county courthouse at Steamboat Springs. A few weeks later, while they were waiting their trial, the two brothers were in their cell. Randall, on his cot, was reading a magazine as Obie walked over to him.
Randall.
What?
Give me that magazine.
I'm reading it, can't you see?
You had it long enough. Give it here.
Listen, I had enough of your bossing around. You see where it landed, don't you?
I want that magazine.
Why don't you go read the letter you didn't get from me?
That's enough, Randall.
Sure, we're in jail. They're going to try us for murder. She'd send us some money because we're in trouble.
She didn't get my letter.
She got it all right. She's nothing but a rotten little...
Don't care, Randall. You asked for it.
Get your dirty hands off me.
You asked for it.
Lay off.
I'll show you.
Get away from me, Obie. Get away. Get away.
Oh. Hello, Sheriff Parker.
Matter? Can't you two get along?
We get along all right.
I want to be moved out of here, Sheriff. Put me someplace else.
Well, we're all right, Sheriff. Just a little family argument.
Now listen, Obie.
Everything be okay. Believe me, Sheriff.
Okay, boys. Don't give me any more trouble.
We won't, Sheriff.
What's your idea, Obie?
Now listen, whatever's between us, we can settle later. Just figured out how we can get out of here.
Yeah? How?
We start a big fight. The sheriff will come in to break it up. I'll grab him. You slug him.
Yeah, but how we get outside?
Two deputies are going out on a call. I heard them leave. The sheriff's all by himself. All right?
Yeah, guess so.
Then let's go. Give me that magazine.
Lay off! Lay off, man, will you? Magazine. Give it here, sir. Come on, give it here.
Lay off, Bobby.
Right, I'm going to kill you. Keep just try.
I'm there.
Let me loose. Let me loose. I'll show you.
Hey, cut it out.
Okay.
Break it up. I'll turn him loose.
Okay. Jump him, Obi.
Hey. What are you doing? Let go.
Slug him, slug him.
Yeah.
Against him again.
Yeah.
He's out. Let's look for his car keys. He's got a 45 automatic.
Good.
And some money. Here's a roll of money. Yeah, and his car keys.
Let's get a move on. Now, wait a minute.
Come on, if we're going.
Those deputies won't be back for a while. We'll lock him in.
Lock him with a key.
We need a snap lock. Go on. Use the parks of the car right out in the yard there.
Okay. But listen, Obie.
Why?
We ain't going to Texas.
What's the matter with Texas?
Because if you go to see May, we'll wind up right back here in the jailhouse.
Texas is an awful big place. We'll settle it later. Let's get out of here first. Come on.
There's nothing to it. We got a fast car. We got good guns. We walk in and take their money, and then we head back towards Dallas.
We ought to head out of Texas. I didn't want to come back to Texas in the first place.
Well, we're here.
You know, I begin to think something.
What?
You didn't drag me down this way to pull no job at all. You drug me down here so you could see May.
Okay. I drug you down here so I could see May. What are you going to do about it?
We're going to get this settled right now.
You bet we are. Go on, get out.
Obie, take that gun off me.
Get out.
Look. I'm your brother.
I could still spit on you. Get out, you yellow-livered little punk. Get out.
Yeah. Well, listen, Obie. You wouldn't kill me.
Wouldn't I?
You need me. You need two to work the way we've been working.
I'm sick. Sick of your yapping. Go on, walk.
Yeah, but you need me, Obie.
That's what you think. I'm going to the town of West. Jack Bush is just itching for the chance to join up with me. Now, walk.
Listen, Obie.
Walk. Straight into them woods.
Obi, I...
Shut up.
You give me a chance, won't you? You wouldn't kill your own brother without a chance.
Okay, you got a chance. Start running.
Obi.
Start running before I change my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the living punk. Brothers, brothers, huh?
Answer that, will you, May?
Sure, Frank. Right away. Hello?
May?
Yeah. Who's this?
It's Obi.
Obi?
Yeah, baby. Did you hear about me breaking out?
Yeah, I heard.
I got a surprise for you. I'm back in Texas. I'm right here in Waco.
Yeah?
Yeah. How about me coming over?
No, you better not do that. I think the police are watching the place.
Uh-oh. Well, where can I meet you?
Look, you know that chili parlor over in West?
Yeah, I know it.
Well, we'll make it there. How's 3 o'clock?
Okay, I'll be there. I missed you awful, baby. When you didn't answer my letter from the jail...
Listen, Obie. Better not talk on the phone too long.
Yeah, honey. 3 o'clock in West. Goodbye.
Who was that on the phone, May?
Nobody, Frank, honey. Just for me.
Well, don't keep the phone tied up all day. I got important calls coming through.
All right, honey, I won't. The book, the book. Yes, yes. Sheriff's Department, Waco. Operator, Waco 471, please. And hurry.
Sheriff's Department, Waco. Sheriff Casey speaking.
Look. You want a tip?
What kind of a tip?
You ever hear of Obi Thronberry?
You You'll have to speak up louder, lady.
I can't talk any louder. Obie Throneberry. They want him in Colorado for a killing.
What about him?
He's going to be in West, 3 o'clock, at that chili parlor. Ellis's.
Who is this talking?
Never mind who. I did you a favor. Ain't that enough? Well, that's that.
Sheriff Casey, I ain't seen you in the cafe for some time. And Deputy Owen.
How are you, Mr. Ellis?
Mr. Ellis?
Yeah, fine, fine. How about you two sitting down for a nice lunch? Nettie's cooked up some of her awful good chili today.
Well, we don't have time today, Mr. Ellis. See, we're looking for a fellow. He's supposed to come in here at 3 o'clock.
Oh?
We'd like to sit in the kitchen until he walks in.
Why, sure, fellas. Is it anybody I know?
No, I don't think so. This is a guy from out of the state. A guy named Obie Throneberry.
Did you say Obie?
That's right.
There was a fellow in here a while ago. Huh? He asked could he use the phone to call Waco, and I said sure. I heard him say his name was Obie.
Is that so?
He rushed out of here, was mad as a Brahma bull.
Is this a picture of that man?
Why, yeah, Sheriff. That's him.
He rushed out of here mad, huh?
That's right. Said he had a date for later. He wanted to use the phone to call his girl to ask her to come earlier. I think he called her and got a man on the phone.
How long ago?
Oh, not 15 minutes back.
Which way did he go, do you know?
No, he didn't. Hey, his car was parked right out in front.
What make was it?
A Pontiac, I think. Yeah, a maroon Pontiac with Oklahoma plates.
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Ellis. Owen.
Yes, Sheriff?
Get the car started. I'll phone in a radio alarm, then we'll take out after it.
Sure thing.
It don't look too good, Mart. He might have taken out the other way.
Well, maybe one of the state highway patrol cars will spot him up the line.
Maybe. But I'd sure like...
Sheriff.
Yeah, I see him.
That's the car, all right.
Yeah, Oklahoma plates and everything. I'll try to get up to him.
That won't be hard.
He's all alone. I'll give him the siren.
Why not hold it a few seconds, Sheriff? He still might be able to pull away from us.
Yeah. He's going in the ditch. Hold on. Come on.
Watch him. He's got a gun.
Yeah. Drop that gun there.
It's dropped.
Let's get him. Okay. Okay, I'm all shot up.
Take it easier. You'll be more shot up. Oh, it's just his hand, Sheriff.
I tell you, I'm all shot up. I'm dying.
You're not dying, Throneberry. Not yet. Come on now. Get out of that car.
Yeah. All right.
We got to get you in shape for that nice long trip you're going to take. That trip all the way back to Colorado. Now go on. Walk to the car.
Didn't you hear the sheriff? He said walk.
Well, Gangbusters listeners, that was how the killer Obie Throneberry was apprehended. His brother, Randall, was arrested by FBI agents later on a farm where he'd gone to hide. Each of these murderers is now serving a term of 43 years imprisonment at the Colorado State Penitentiary in Canyon City.
Well, thank you, Sheriff Homer Casey, for this case history. And Gangbusters, congratulations to all the law enforcement officers who participated in putting these notorious Throneberry brothers behind bars. Tonight's Gangbusters case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Ralph Bell and Art Carney in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
Okay. Well, Rob, thank you so much. Ruthann?
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much. I want to say that Delma Bliss is now here, and Del, would you want to play your programs? Because you were the hostess for the evening, Rob. Happened to fill in here with the program, and it was great. We'll talk. Ron Staley is on board later, if some of you stay later in the evening. Ron is a real expert on gangbusters, and he loves it. I'm glad he could come on board, too. So let's hold back on the controls and see what Dale wants to do here. Welcome, Dale Bliss. She's the hostess of her own old-time radio show on VIPconduit.com. Welcome, Dale. She was there. I saw her. Fred, is she still up there?
She left the session, and it was right after you came back with Ruth Ann. So apparently she left us.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I couldn't reach her. I guess I could have put a text chat up, but I hope she doesn't feel slighted in any way because we'd never do that. So, Rob, if you're still there, if you mind playing another one, we're kind of in the dinner hour in California. It's nice to settle back and relax and listen. Excuse the echo here. My wife's checking her ID made here in the background. But leave the controls alone, guys, and let's see what Rob has for us the second one. I've heard this first one, and we can ask a lot of trivia about this one, or let's see what he's got for the second one.
Now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case history.
Tonight, Gangbusters presents the case of the Bandit Brothers, who rode a crooked trail of death and robbery.
And now, Gangbusters! Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
Gangbusters presents Louis J. Valentine, former commissioner of the largest police force in the world, who will interview by proxy Lieutenant Tom McGrath, Chicago Police Department, retired. Commissioner Valentine.
Lieutenant McGrath, I know Winsel Urban terrorized the Midwest for years.
Yes, Commissioner Valentine. To Winsel Urban, crime was a big business. Where others sought thousands, he went after millions. Urban was so cunning and so daring that on one occasion he was able to rob hundreds of families of their life savings at one blow.
And that's tonight's case, Lieutenant McGrath. Where would you like to begin?
A few months ago in Chicago, Commissioner, a slender, wiry man named Lou Morgan was keeping an appointment in a large gymnasium where prize fighters exercised and trained.
Hi, Joe. Been waiting long?
About time you got here, Morgan. Urban's getting impatient. This time he wants everything set and perfect. And no more excuses.
Everything's okay now, Joe. I got it all figured like Urban wants.
You took enough time.
He wants a clean job, Joe. It takes time.
Okay, come on.
Urban in the back room here?
Yeah, he's getting a rub down. Let's go in.
Okay.
Morgan says it's all set, Urban.
Hi, Urban.
Spill it, Morgan. It works. What are you waiting for?
Urban in front of this rubdown guy.
Ah, he's deaf and dumb. That's it.
Now, look, Urban, I'm the front man. I can't take no chances.
You tell me, I tell you. Okay, I'll show you. That's enough rubbing, Mickey. See? You can't hear nothing.
Look, I'm a nervous guy, Urban.
Okay. Joe, send Mickey out of here. Hey, Mickey. Urban says that's enough rubbing for now. You should come back later. Yeah, later.
Okay, Morgan. What's it look like?
It's an easy mark, Urban. Ought to be 200 grand.
I told you to find out about the burglar alarm.
I did.
Well?
No burglar alarm.
How do you know?
Well, that's what took me so long. Like I told you before, the place looks like a business office, see? But they got a big vault with a tin door. Some people don't like to keep money in a bank, so they rent safe deposit boxes from this office. They got hundreds of boxes.
How do you know there ain't no burglar alarm?
They got a watchman instead. He lives upstairs over the office. Me and him, pals. I make friends with the guy, see? We take a walk, have a couple of beers, and before you know it, I got the layout of the whole vault. The same as if he handed me the blueprints. Yeah, it'll be a cinch, Urban. You could drop a bomb in there. Nobody'd hear it.
What about the doctor that has his office on the second floor?
He's the only one upstairs besides the watchman.
Your case, the doctor?
Sure, even let the doc examine me. You got nothing to worry about him. Goes home every night. You gonna do the job, Urban?
Yeah.
When?
Friday night.
Then I guess I'll blow out of town for the weekend.
You want your 10%, you do a piece of work for it.
What do you mean, Evan?
Somebody's got to put this watchman on the spot. We don't know him, so you're the one who's going to do it.
Oh, no, Evan, I can't. I'm up to my neck now. If I put the finger on that watchman, the cops will hang it on me, sure.
You'll do like I say if you know what's good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Evan.
When's the watchman make his rounds at the vault?
Every hour on the nose. Takes him 15 minutes.
He carry a time clock?
Yeah, he punches it at 5 stations.
What's he do after he makes his round?
Takes a walk, maybe for 45 minutes, but look...
Shut up. You gotta have that watchman at tow. I figure it'll take 3 hours to open the vault and crack the lockboxes inside. You gotta make the watchman's rounds for him or the alarm will go off.
I'll take care of that, Urban.
Meanwhile, I don't want no nosy cops spotting the Jimmy door. So we go in with the watchman's key. We keep the watchman where he can do no damage.
Yeah, and I see your point, but look...
Friday night, you'll take a walk with that watchman at 10:15. When you get to the corner drugstore, go in for cigarettes. Leave the watchman standing on the corner. Me and the boys will handle the details from there on. Just you have the watchman outside that drugstore.
Say, I hope you didn't mind walking down here by the drugstore.
No, it suits me as long as we're walking.
Okay.
You know, walking's why I like being a night watchman.
Yeah?
You can go out for air, you know, between rounds.
Well, I just want to step in here for a minute.
Okay, let's go.
I want a cigarette. You wait here a minute, huh?
Oh, wait, come to think of it, I need cigarettes myself.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. Okay, what do you smoke? I'll get them for you.
Oh, now, listen, I couldn't let you do that. I'll come on
in.
Oh,
what's a pack of cigarettes? Just stay here a minute. I'll bring you some out.
Okay, mister. Okay with me.
Pardon me, mister. We dropped a key on the curb back there.
Yeah, we wondered, could you hold a match while we look for it?
Why, yes, I guess so. I think I got a box of matches someplace here in my pocket.
Yeah, supplies, mister.
Right here's the spot.
Sure. Just a second now, I'll strike a match. Find it.
Now, Joe.
Yeah, get it, he's out cold.
Hold him up. Now, here comes the car. All right, get him in the car, quick. Okay, step on it. Head for the vault.
Look at it, thousands. A gold mine. Look at all them rings and things.
Well, come on. We ain't got time to play with that cracked neck box. What a haul. Am I seeing right?
$100 bills.
Joe?
Yeah, Urban?
Come here.
Keep on cracking them boxes, boys, while I see what Urban wants. Did you ever see so much dough, Urban?
That's going to be the biggest haul anybody ever got. What time is it, Joe?
It's almost one.
Time to make another round with that watchman's time clock.
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
How about the watchman?
I just checked him. He won't wake up for hours. When he does, it'll take him a week to untie himself.
Perfect, Joe. Perfect. All right, hurry up, you guys. Get them last boxes open. We're getting out in 20 minutes.
Looks like whoever broke into this vault made quite a haul, doesn't it, Sergeant?
No telling how much, Captain Rogers.
Oh, what a mess. Look at it. Mortgage papers, registered bonds, heirlooms. Everything they couldn't use. Thrown it all over the place.
They left this behind. Imagine what they took with them.
Any fingerprints, Sergeant?
Not a print, Captain Rogers.
Did you check that watchman's story?
Yes, sir. I'm sure he's in the clear. But he's all we've got to work with right now.
Somebody cased this job perfectly.
Yes, they know every corner like a book. Right now, it points to the man the watchman took a walk to the drugstore with just before the robbery.
What's the watchman have to say about this man?
He's given us a pretty accurate description, but it could fit 1,000 suspects.
All right, but then they're questioning everyone in the neighborhood, Sergeant. Maybe someone else noted this finger man. Meantime, we'll get an estimate of the loot. I hate to think of the figure when it gets totaled.
Stop claiming them rings and things, Joe. I'm trying to add.
Boy, oh boy, what a take. How much, Urban? How much?
Let me check the figures now. Let's see. Currency, coins, negotiable bonds, jewelry. 8, 13,
22, 30, 38, 60, 44.
How much,
Urban? How much?
Just a second. Wait a minute. There. Take a look.
300 grand.
Take another look, Joe.
300? Oh. 3,000? You're kidding.
No. That's the total.
$3 million.
Yeah. 3 million plus a couple of thousand and all the jewelry.
I didn't think there was that much dough in the world.
There was in them tin boxes.
And we got it.
Yeah. Joe.
Don't bother me. I'm dreaming about spending my cut.
That's what I want to talk about.
What do you mean? That's already settled.
Look, Joe, the $3 million score makes this dough the hottest stuff in the country.
So?
So we can't let the boys push it out too freely.
No?
My idea is everybody takes 15 grand apiece and we pack the rest away until it cools off.
Who packs it away?
Who's the boys?
You.
Then I take care of the money until we split the balance.
I know, Urban. I know.
You think I'm crazy enough to blow out with all this dough? The boys would cut my head off.
And I'd be there with the sharpest knife.
Okay, so it's settled. Each takes 15 grand and I pack away the rest.
It's settled, Urban. But don't forget what I said.
About the sharpest knife?
Yeah. 3 million. Why, that little punk Morgan. He had the right dope. You gotta give him credit.
Yeah. Morgan's in for casing this job is 10%. You know what 10% of 3 million is?
300 grand. So what?
300,000 is a lot of dough. More than we expected from the whole job.
He earned it.
Ah, what business a punk like Morgan got with 300,000? It's dangerous.
For him?
For us. He tosses that dough around, he get picked up. The cops make him sing and we fry. You can't spend no 3 million in Joliet.
So we give him peanuts.
We give him nothing, Joe. He's front man, and sooner or later, the cops will nab him. When a copper says boo, a punk like Morgan sings.
You mean we gotta give him the business?
Yeah, the business. But make sure it's a clean job. Morgan's out of town now, setting up his alibi. He'll be back Monday for a split. You and the boys will see that he gets it. Between the eyes.
Not 24 hours after Urban robbed the vault, Commissioner Valentine, he was planning to dispose of the weakest member of his gang.
Lieutenant McGrath, we're all anxious to hear what happened next in this thrilling case.
Now, back to Gangbusters and Commissioner Valentine.
Lieutenant McGrath, Winsel Urban had given instructions to his gang to murder Lou Morgan, the man who led Urban to the $3 million loot. What happened next?
Well, Chicago detectives questioned hundreds of people, Commissioner Valentine, to uncover even the smallest lead to the man who cased the vault for the gang. One of those questioned was the doctor who had his office above the vault. Captain Rogers went there to talk.
I remember every detail, Doctor. As I said, the night watchman has told us he first met this suspect in the hallway outside, coming out of your office here.
About 10 days ago, you say?
About then, Doctor. The watchman said he was wearing a plaid shirt and a
pair of... I think I do recall him.
Good.
Let me look back at my records. Here. February 2nd, J.L. Smith.
Well, he'd use a phony name.
I'm certain this is the man.
You examined him?
Thoroughly. He complained of feeling sick.
Was he?
Well, I could find nothing wrong. Hypochondriac type.
Well, tell me, when you were examining him, Doctor, did you notice anything about him? Any peculiar scars or marks?
Well, yes, he did have a tattoo. Bathing beauty tattoo.
Where?
The left forearm. Good. I noticed the tattoo while taking his pulse.
Yes. Any other marks, Doctor?
An appendectomy.
Good. How about his teeth?
I recall several molars missing. He wore a dental bridge.
Perfect, perfect. Thanks very much.
I hope I've been helpful, Captain.
Doctor, you don't know how helpful you've been. This was a professional job. The men involved probably have records. And that tattoo, the appendectomy scar, and the missing teeth are distinctive clues. They may lead us to these criminals.
Identification Bureau to Captain Rogers. Have checked cross-file system for known criminals with 1, bathing beauty tattoo, 2, appendectomy scar, 3, missing molars and dental bridge. Results, 7 known criminals answering general description and having those marks. Sending these criminals' records to your office at once.
I asked you two gentlemen to come here to police headquarters to look at some pictures.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, will you please sit on one side of that table and the watchman on the other?
Sure. Of course, Captain.
I have here 7 photographs.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, I'm going to hand them to you first. If the man who visited your office is in that group, pick him up.
All right, Captain. Here, Captain. This one.
Hmm? All right, I'll just make a note of that number. Thank you, Doctor. Now, I'm going to shuffle these same pictures a bit and hand them to the watchman.
Yes, sir.
Now, sir, see if the man who went walking with you on the night of the robbery is any one of these 7 men.
Yes, sir. I'll try, Captain.
Take your time.
It's this one, Captain. I'd know him anywhere. I swear it is.
Here, give me that photograph, please.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Number 45682. Lou Morgan. It seems you gentlemen agree.
I knew him in a minute.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your cooperation. I'll assign the entire robbery and burglary squads to get a line on this Lou Morgan at once.
Hello?
Evan?
Yeah.
Lou Morgan. I just got back to town, Evan. I hear we did good in our deal.
Good enough.
I hear it was in 7 figures.
Yeah. So what?
Terrific. My commission ready, Evan?
It's an awful big chunk of dough for you, Morgan.
I get 10%, though. Now you're going to pay off.
Sure, I'm going to pay off. How about coming around tonight? Boys will be here.
Boys?
Yeah. We're planning a little party.
Party? I don't want no party, Evan.
Don't you want what's coming to you?
I know how you work. I've been nothing doing. I ain't coming around.
I said come around here, Morgan. Or I'll send the boys after you.
No, Evan, I don't want a knife in my back. Leave me be. Will you leave me be?
Open up, Morgan. We know you're inside. Open up, Morgan.
Push the door in.
Okay. You don't seem to be here. The closet.
Keep your gun ready.
Okay, Morgan, come out of that closet or we'll shoot through the door.
Grab him.
No. Look, honest, guys. I won't squeal. Tell Ivan, will you? Tell him to keep the dough. I don't want any dough, honest. I don't want any dough.
Stop squirming, Morgan.
Look, I don't want to die, please. I don't want to die. Look, tell Ivan I'll have the rod. I don't want any dough. See, listen. Hey. Now, who are you guys? He didn't send you, did he? You're coppers.
Yes, Morgan, we're police officers. What were you saying about Urban?
Urban? I don't know any such guy.
No? Well, you've told us what we want to know, Morgan. Take him downtown, Sergeant.
I got a piece of bad news for you, Urban.
Yeah, what?
We went to get Lou Morgan.
So?
The cops got there first.
What?
Nearly hooked us, too.
We got to move fast, Joe. Round up all the boys. Have them at the hotel at 7. I'll meet you there. We'll split up the balance of the dough and blow. As soon as Morgan sings, Chicago's not going to be so healthy.
Sergeant Thompson speaking.
This is Captain Rogers, Sergeant. Did you get any more out of Morgan?
Not yet, Captain, but he'll talk in time.
We can't wait, Sergeant. As soon as word of Morgan's arrest spreads, that gang will scatter to the four winds. The loot with them.
We'll get Urban, Captain. We'll work day and night until we do.
Well, it's important to recover the loot, too, Sergeant. Hundreds of people have lost their life savings. Now, you check every place Urban's been seen. Couldn't carry $3 million around with him. Must be hidden out someplace. Find it.
Okay, Urban, wake up. Come on, wake up.
Hey, what are you doing?
Hello, Urban.
Joe, Hiya, boys.
Hiya. Yeah, I brought the boys along. You took this little room 60 miles out of town. Didn't think we could find you, huh?
Look, guys, you got this all wrong.
Yeah, you were supposed to show up at the hotel at 7 o'clock 3 days ago. Instead, you took the dough and skipped.
I'm telling you, Joe, you're wrong. I ain't got the dough.
Remember, Urban, I said I'd be the guy with the sharpest knife?
Cops were getting too close to me. I tried to reach it.
Where's the dough, Urban?
Same place it always was.
Where? Where is it?
You'll get your end in time.
We want it now. Where's the dough, Urban?
If I tell you, you'll grab the $3 million and take a walk with my split.
Where's the dough, Urban?
It's hid good. Hey, what is this? Am I boss of this mob or ain't I?
You ain't, Urban. You're just stalling for time, but we want that dough quick. Go to work on it, boys. Make them tell us where it is.
No. No! No, boy! No, no! 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 No!
I tell you, Joe, we shouldn't have killed Urban until we got our hands on the dough.
He wasn't lying about the dough being up here in this attic by the pipe.
Are you sure?
After that workout we gave him... Urban wasn't telling no lies to us.
Okay, Joe. You're the boss. For now, anyhow.
All right, you guys. When we go in the attic, no noise, no lights. The dough's in a tin box under the floor by a pipe.
Right.
Now, I don't want myself cut to pieces and dumped in a ditch like Urban. So we split the dough right here. Okay?
Okay.
Open the door. Quiet now. That's the corner over there. Got that crowbar ready?
Yeah.
You fool.
Sorry, Joe.
Throwing up the floorboards. Easy now.
You see it yet, Joe?
Not yet. It's here, though.
We shouldn't have knocked Urban off yet.
See? What did I tell you? Here it is. Help me get the box out.
Okay, okay.
What? I said no lights. Who turned them lights on?
Nobody turned them on.
Who turned them on? Put your hands up, everybody. Coppers, keep them up. You're trapped. All right, Sergeant. Start putting the cuffs on them.
Right, Captain. What's this all about?
We found Winsel Urban's body in a ditch near Kankakee a few hours ago.
So what?
And Morgan told us about this house. One of the many places Urban used. When you headed here, it was quite obvious where the loot was hidden. You walked right into our trap.
That Morgan, he'll get what's coming to him between the ribs.
You won't be the ones to give it to him. He's got you red-handed. You're going up for a long, long time.
Lieutenant McGrath, tonight's case is an outstanding example of efficient police work. What happened to Urban's gang?
All seven of them, Commissioner Valentine, are now serving terms ranging up to life imprisonment.
Congratulations, Lieutenant, to the Chicago police. Even though this vicious gang staged one of the biggest robberies in criminal records, their loot did them no good, and all they got for their trouble was death or long sentences in prison.
Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
And this has been Yesterday Once More. Today we heard Gangbusters. Hope you all enjoyed that. I'm Rob Hanczyk saying thanks for listening and join us again soon for another edition of Yesterday Once More. Until then, so long for now.